Well, good morning, church. It's good to be back with you again today. It's another preaching to an empty room, but I am talking to the church. I love coming together to share in this way. It's been a different trying time, but we're coming together today to celebrate our mothers. Got Mother's Day today, and I love celebrating and honoring our mothers. I've entitled our lesson today, A Godly Mother, Devout Mothers. I'm going to look at some devout mothers from the Bible. A devout mother is a mother who is devoted to serving God. And I thank the Lord that our church is full of godly mothers, and I just honor you mothers today, you important influencing women in the church who maybe you've never had a child, but you've been very influential in raising up a godly child. What a blessing to have a church full of women who love the Lord and want to serve Him and do what's best for raising godly children and descendants who are going to follow and walk with the Lord. That's our calling. That's what our job is. And so I thank God this morning for our godly mothers here at Open Arms. I'd like to begin today in Luke chapter 1, beginning with Mary, Jesus' mother. Just a really good example in the Word of God of a godly mother who loved her children and wanted what was best for them. Before we begin there, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You again this morning for this opportunity to come and share the Word of God with the body of Christ. And Father, I lift up each of our people today where we can't meet together, Father. It's just, for me, that's very hard to not be able to meet together with the church, to share, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to be together, to share life together. So, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that this COVID virus this epidemic thing will end really soon, that we'll be able to come back together, to worship together, to praise together, and to honor You, Father. So I lift each one of our people up, Father, as they're struggling to get through this, whether some of them lost their jobs or whatever is going on, Father, we just ask that You'll make us aware of any problems that arise, that we can help where help is needed. So, Father, we bless our people. I thank You, Father, for our godly mothers. I ask, Father, that Your blessings will be upon them and their families today as they honor their mothers. Whether it's someone who bore them or someone who has just been influential in putting God in their lives. Father, just bless them and keep them. And that we'll have a blessed time together as we share about some of the godly women from the Word of God. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I want to start in Luke 1 today is because this really shows the character of Mary. We're going to begin with the angel's announcement to her that she's going to be with child without being married. She's a virgin, and how God favored Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then we're going to begin in verse 26 today. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, I just imagine that Mary probably had some pretty good principles in her life. She was probably an outstanding young woman, a leader among her peers, and just she was highly favored by God. And that is an awesome accomplishment for a young girl. And so Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. I can't even imagine what Mary's thinking now, but she's thinking, well, how can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. So, right here in this scripture, we've got two godly mothers, Mary and Elizabeth. As you know, Elizabeth was going to have John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the one who went before and to prepare the way for him. And I love Mary's response here in the last of this reading. Verse 38 says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So Mary was willing to do what she felt was impossible. But because of her conversation with the angel, she was willing to be a servant who would carry and deliver the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus, the mother of Jesus. So, what an awesome response. And over Mary's song on over in verse 47 and 48, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And it goes on there. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what a blessing to read. And I'll even, as I'm going through this part right here, it's a song. She sang this to the Lord, and I've even done that myself. So sometime when you're just alone and you want to sing it, go ahead and sing it. Put any tune to it that you want. But it's great to just sing some of the psalms and some of these passages where they're praising the Lord and honoring God in all that they're doing there. Then let's go over to Luke. Chapter 2, this was where, where Jesus, I'm going to look at 2:41 through 52, where when Jesus was a boy and he went, they took him to the temple and he stayed there, and how I want to look at Mary's response to this, the mother's response. So every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and this is Luke 2:41 and following. We'll be reading down through 51 today, or 52. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, keep in mind, Jesus was 12 years old. Imagine how proud his mother must have been, even though she was anxious because they'd been 3 days without finding their son. They didn't know where he was. So obviously she was very anxious to learn of his whereabouts. Verse 47 says, "Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.'" Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So they went down to Nazareth. So he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So, probably wasn't easy being the mother of Jesus. They're going back home. They're expecting that Jesus is traveling with some of their relatives, with some of his cousins in the group. And they went a whole day without knowing where he was, thinking he was with the crowd going home. But then they couldn't find him with their relatives. So they had to backtrack. They went looking and looking for 3 days. They looked. So she was probably a little upset. Yeah, I would say so. I would have been. Joseph was probably a little upset as well. But it says his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She was probably thinking, why did he say I have to be in my father's house? Why did he think that we would know that's where he would be? She remembered the conversation with the angel. He will be the Son of God. Hallelujah. So Mary, probably of the women, of the people that we look for, Mary is just what a godly woman. I'd like to finish up on Mary in John chapter 2. I don't know how many of you remember the Jesus' first miracle, but Mary, his mother, had a part in that, and I want to see how Jesus treated his mother here. This was at a wedding in Cana. So probably was a family member of Jesus' family. Probably someone in their family was getting married. And it was on the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And I'm actually in verse 1 of chapter 2. Jesus' mother was there, so Mary was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, so Mary said to Jesus, "They have no more wine." And I love what Jesus called his mother. He said, "Dear mother," it says in my version here, "dear woman," but I can imagine he probably called her mother. "My dearest mother, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time is not yet come." So he's a term of endearment. He loves his mother. He trying to understand why she's involving him because they ran out of wine. The mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. So the mother's response was, she knew that Jesus could make a difference here. She knew her son, and she knew that he could make a difference at this wedding. So she just instructed the servants to do whatever he tells you to do. And the rest is history, as they say. Another godly woman in the Word of God is Sarah. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Sarah, so we're going to go back to Genesis, actually, in chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Sarah was Abraham's wife, as you remember, and she was barren. She didn't have any children for a long time until they were very, very old. Abraham was 100 years old, and I think Sarah was 90. Can you imagine, ladies, having a baby when you're 90? Well, chapter 21 of Genesis says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." So, in the previous chapters, he had come to Abraham and Sarah and said, "You're going to have a baby." Well, they both knew they were too old for that, so she had laughed, and sure enough, verse 2, Sarah became pregnant, bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore. And Isaac means he laughs. So she remembered that she laughed when the angel told her, "You're going to have a son." Well, who wouldn't? How many of us in our old age would laugh if somebody said, "You're going to have a baby"? Well, when his son was Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to God, to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." So another example of a godly woman, a woman devout, a woman who was raising somebody very important in the lineage of Jesus. So another example here of a godly woman, a woman who loved the Lord and followed his precepts. And we can't really look at devout, godly women without looking at Hannah, Samuel's mother. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Samuel back in 1 Samuel 1. I'm actually going to begin in verse 9 today. In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. And it says, "Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" So, because Hannah was barren, she hadn't had any children, she made a vow to the Lord. She was in desperation. She wanted a son. She wanted children so bad. She wanted to be a mother so bad that she made a vow to the Lord. "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life." And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Oh, not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So here's another devout, godly woman who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. She was a woman who obviously served the Lord, walked with him, and knew where to go for this problem that she was having. She knew where to go. She knew she could go to the Father. Verse 19, "Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel." And Samuel sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. She said, "I've been heard. The Lord heard me. He heard what I heard, my cry. He heard my vow." So she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." So she was keeping Samuel home till after he was weaned, till he was done nursing. And then she was going to take him to the temple and leave him there to be used by the Lord so he could always be there. And you'd all know the rest of the story of Samuel. But another example of a godly woman. A woman who took God seriously. So, who are some of the godly mothers in your life? A lot of you, it's your mom. Maybe a grandma. In today's society, many children are raised by their grandparents, by their grandmothers. So perhaps as a grandma, you've been a godly influence on your grandchildren. maybe an aunt or a teacher, a neighbor or a friend. Many, many women in our society today are godly mothers, even though they haven't bore children. They, because of their influence in the life of a youngster, they have been a mother or a mentor or a teacher to them. They have been very influential in instructing them in the way of the Lord, being a godly influence in their life. So if you perhaps didn't have a godly mother growing up, maybe you can look at someone else in your life. I thank the Lord for my godly mother. I was raised by godly parents. My mother was very, she fit in this category with Mary and with Sarah and Hannah and Elizabeth. She fit into that category because she spent time with the Lord, understood her father, and depended on him, lived a deep walk of faith. And I thank God for that, for the way she raised all nine of us children to walk with the Lord. And so I thank God for my godly heritage, for my godly mother. But I just want you to think about who's been a godly influence in your life today. And then also, I want to honor all of you girls here at church. We're blessed to have a building full of godly mothers, mothers who care about their children and who want them to walk with the Lord as they do, as their mothers did, as their grandmothers did. Our walk is a walk that goes from generation to generation. As we continue to walk with the Lord, then those coming up behind us will see our example and also walk with the Lord. I found a poem on the refrigerator this morning before I come over, and it says, My Perfect Mother. It's by Donna Fargo. I don't know how many of you know who Donna Fargo is, but she wrote, "Your heart is big, your love is pure. You want the best for me and care about everything I'm going through. You love me without condition. If I could choose anyone at all for my mom, I'd choose you. You're my perfect mother, and I love you and appreciate you more than I could ever express." I thought that was a really good way to honor your perfect mother. Today I want to just end with Psalms 128. It's just a really good psalm, and talks about a little bit about how as we walk with the Lord, He takes care of us, He blesses us, watches over us. Just some good stuff here. So if you would, just turn to Psalms 128 with me. We're going to finish up here. And I'm just going to speak this blessing to you, to the church today. it's a song of ascent. So again, it's a song. I'm not going to sing it to you this morning, because I want you to get the full blessing of it. But it begins in verse 1 of Psalms 128. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table." What a way to bless the wives or the mothers here. You're going to be a fruitful vine, and your sons are going to be like olive shoots around your table. "And thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you today as you celebrate and honor your mothers. Go with the blessings of God. Spend time with your family, especially with your mothers today. Or if you've got someone else who's been an influence in your life, call them and just give an encouraging word to someone who's been a godly influence as a mother in your life today. God bless you. Hopefully soon we'll be able to gather back together and share around the Lord's table with all of you again. So God bless you. Enjoy your day and be a blessing to others. Amen.